أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the book that we're studying, Zad al-Mustaqni', in the Kitab al-Tahara, in the Bab al-Istinja, we pick back up in the things that are mustahab during istinja. And again, I want to emphasize that this shows the beauty of Islam, the cleanliness of Islam, the purity of the mu'min, spiritually and physically. And it's a very important bab, even if people underestimate it's important, because if your istinja is not correct, if you let najasa get on your clothes, or you leave najasa on your body and do not perform istinja correctly, you're not careful during bowl, then your salah is batila. Yani it affects the most important of your physical ibadat. So here we begin with the seventh, in the things that are mustahab, those things that are preferred to do with qada al-haja in bab al-istinja. And that, I'll read part of the matan and then we'll study it inshallah. وَاعْتِمَادُهُ عَلَى رِجْلِهِ الْيُسْرَى وَبُعْدُهُ فِي فَضَاءٍ وَاسْتِثَارُهُ وَارْتِيَادُهُ لِبَوْلِهِ مَكَانًا رِخْوًا. طيب. Number seven, اعتماده, that he leans towards the رجله, it's his leg, اليسرى, that's on the left, يعني, to lean towards the left side. طيب, let me explain now, first thing, the sunnah of how to sit, and the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and most of the people of that time used to sit, is what's called the squatting position. In the West, nowadays we're used to the, or even in the East as well, the seat type of position, where you have like a chair, which is your toilet, and then you sit on it like you sit on a chair. And there is no doubt that the natural method and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is to squat, this is more natural. When your legs are up, your body is a little bit lower, this is much better for you physically. Yani this is the sunnah way, as we know from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it is also much healthier. There have been research, scientific studies, peer-reviewed journals, scientific journal entries that show that sitting in a squatting position is healthier for the human body. So there is the aspect of it that this is the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat, the squatting way, and there is also the scientifically proven aspect of it that it is healthier for the human body. This is one thing. Now we get to the mas'ala here, which is i'timaduhu, is to lean more towards rijlihi al-yusra, on his left leg. So what the mu'allif is saying is that it's when you are sitting squatting, it's better to lean towards the left. It's mustahab. Tayyib, when we say something is mustahab, we have to give adilla. Here we have a number of ahadith that support this. The famous one, At-Tabrani has mentioned, and also I found the rawayah from Al-Bayhaqi, from Suraqa ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended for him to lean towards his left, I need to put more pressure toward the left leg when squatting, when qada al-haja, when answering the call of nature. Now, I do want to remind everybody that this is the way of the Muslim, whether urinating or defecating, whether male or female, is to sit down during answering the call of nature. This is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the way of the Muslim. And there are other adilla and dilla we can discuss about that. But here, this narration, to lean towards the left, is a weak narration. There are multiple chains for it. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen in Sharh al-Mumti' has pointed out that the one in al-Bayhaqi is da'if. Imam Bahauddin al-Maqdisi has mentioned them in Udda. And Imam Ibn Abdul Barr and other imam and ulama listed many out, a famous Maliki scholar. Also Ibn Abdul Hadi, the famous muhaddith and scholar, he in his Tanqih al-Ta'liq, in his book al-Tanqih, which is mentions many adilla and many rawayat for this. Having said that, all of them have weaknesses in it. And they are not at a level where they can be hasan li ghayrihi. So we say from adilla, this is not something we can clearly prove min as-sunnah. Tayyib. Having said that, many of the a'imma and ulama have pointed out that those Muslim physicians, those Muslims who specialize in natural medicine, mentioned that there is a number of health benefits for leaning on the left, and they talked about the body and pressure and this and that. I've read through those, and they have also shown that it's healthier for the Muslim. So many a'imma also point that to be something beneficial, and that's why they said it's mustahab. I have not found in Western scientific journals that are peer-reviewed any research that, about leaning on the left. So I can't say that for sure. But I will say that many a'imma have said that this is not something proven, so they left this out, and that's fine. But other a'imma and ulama said that because this is something mentioned in the kutub of fiqh across the board, and across madhahib, and it is something that does have multiple ahadith for it, even if there is weakness for it, and it has nothing in contradiction to it. There is no hadith that condemns it. There is no hadith that shows something different. There is no hadith that say, that shows a contradictory position. And with the health benefits that have been pointed out by Muslim physicians, to consider this mustahab is also correct, and that is the mu'tamid of the madhab. So this is to sit in the squatting position, and that's proven from Sahih al-Hadith, and then to sit leaning towards the left, which is yani mentioned in weaker ahadith, but has adilla as well. Tayyib. And then بُعْدُهُ فِي فَضَاءٍ يعني to go far when you are in the open. Tayyib. This mas'ala has to be understood. First thing, there are clear adilla for this. The hadith which is famous from Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him to hold a container, and then he went away until he disappeared from the eyesight of people. They couldn't see him, and then he did the qada al-haja. So what does that tell you? That yani this is something proven from Sahih al-Hadith. But many of the tulab ilm misunderstand this mas'ala. I listened to somebody explaining this book, and they misinformed the listener. So let me explain it. This is not about being far away where people cannot see your awrah. That would be fard. That would be obligatory. This is under the things that are mustahab. To be far away where people cannot see your awrah, that is something obligatory. What is this mas'ala here? This mas'ala is that even if you are far away where people cannot see your awrah, so for example, if you are out in a field, and this is in the out open area. Say, why only in the open area? Let's say you're at home or you're in a masjid and you go to the bathroom and you close the door and you're just in a toilet area with a closed door. Nobody can see you in there. So there's no reason for you to go far. You don't go and go like three stories away from people to go to the bathroom in another bathroom. No. If you're covered in a small area that's closed, then you don't have to worry about this masala. This is about being out in the open. So let's say you're camping, let's say you're out somewhere, you're in another country, and you're out in the field, and you want to do qada al-haja. Many of the people, they do, they just sit down somewhere, even if their awrah is covered, even if they turn around or they're behind a bush, but they sit very close to people and they do qada al-haja. This is something that is khalif to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way of Rasulullah is the way of haya, yani the way of being shy. Worse than that, and this is something very important to understand, nowadays we have this fitna of people urinating next to people. Na'udhu billah. You go in the West, in the Western countries, and in the Eastern, I'll explain both. In the Western countries, you have these urinals. Na'udhu billah. Filth. And what happens? Somebody goes in, and they're standing right next to somebody else. There's no divider even in the middle. And na'udhu billah, men, they are doing qada al-hada, al-bawl, right there. And they are even talking to each other. And holding conversations, and their awrah is exposed, even whether they look or not, it's a different issue. And then they're sitting, they're standing right next to each other, and the urine is splashing back on them. Using a urinal is haram in Islam. Because there is no doubt that when you urinate towards a urinal, unless there is a great necessity, if there is no bathroom and you're in an emergency, it's a different issue. Otherwise, no doubt urine comes back on your clothes from using a urinal. No doubt that your awrah can be exposed unless there's dividers and things. There are many harms in this. In the Muslim countries, in the Eastern countries, and Middle Eastern countries, another problem, different problem. People urinate on the side of the street. A'udhu billah. And you will see it. Sometimes you'll be walking or driving. Na'udhu billah. Sometimes women will be walking there, and some guy will just squat and sit down and start urinating side of the street. Na'udhu billah. Right? Even if his awrah doesn't get, even if he does it in a way that doesn't expose his awrah, it's still not the correct way, as we're studying here from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned by Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Tayyib. So even if you are out in a area that's far away, and even if your awrah is not exposed, still the best thing to go far away where people don't see you, or as best as you can. Tayyib. So now that was 7 and 8. 7, to lean, to sit in the squatting position and lean towards your left. And 8, to go away from the people where they can completely not see you when you are out in the open. This is not applicable if you're going to the bathroom where there are doors and it's closed. Then to cover wastitharuhu. Tayyib. Once again, to do your best to cover yourself. And this is, once again, not about covering your awrah, because covering your awrah would be fard. Tayyib? Covering your awrah would be fard. But to cover yourself the best you can while doing qada al-haja out in the open, not just your awrah, but even more than that. Danny, to try to make sure that the way you sit and where you sit and how you sit, if you're out in the open, even if you go away from people, yani if you're in the open, you don't just take all your clothes off or take your shirt off for no reason and then your stomach's showing and things like this. Rather, you try to conceal yourself the best you can without getting najasa on your clothes, obviously. But this is also something that is mustahab. And this is number 9. Now again, pointing it out one more time. To cover the awrah where the awrah is not exposed to somebody that is not supposed to see your awrah is fard. That's not what we're being discussed here. This is a shyness, a haya past that. Tayyib. And to find a soft place, rikhwan, yani something that absorbs, something that is soft when urinating. Tayyib, defecation, yani usually it doesn't hit something and splash, unless you have stomach issues. But urination, it's liquid and it comes out in force, so it does splash back. And this is something serious. Yani, it's not something to take lightly, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned the earlier beginning of this dars, of this bab, he mentioned about the people that are being punished in the qabr. And one of them, because he didn't guard himself from the splashes or his urine in his istinja, was not correct. So that is something that led to adab in the qabr. And may Allah protect us from the adab of the qabr. So this is something serious. So to find a place that is soft, yani is something that is mustahab, yani it is better, so that the urine does not splash back on the clothes or on the person. And the adillah of that are many. There are adillah that mention this as well. But and even if you just take the hadith about protecting yourself from urine, that is enough of a dalil that nobody would disagree with this. Now, today most of us don't urinate outside. So we don't really have this issue. We urinate usually in toilets. So there is not much of an issue. But what does come into play here are urinals once again, because that is something hard that you hit and the urine splashes back. Even in a toilet, the best thing when you are urinating is to flush the toilet at the time of urination, so the water is flowing and the urine flows with it, and you're not urinating into standing water. And there's other adilla there to dalil. I don't want to transgress here, but this is something that is mustahab. Tayyib. So now we have mentioned 10. This is the 10th of the things that are mustahab. The next, وَمْسُحُ بِيَدِهِ الْيُسْرَى إِذَا فَرَغَ مِنْ بَوْلِهِ مِنْ أَصْلِ ذَكْرِهِ إِلَى رَأْسِهِ ثَلَاثَ. Tayyib. Now we get to number 11. That is to use first and foremost the left hand. Yani, there are clear adillah and ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordained on this ummah not to use the right hand to touch the privates while making istinja. Rather, from that hadith and many other adillah and ahadith, including the hadith of Aisha radiyallahu anha that we mentioned in the last dars, the Rasulullah would use his left hand in things that having to do with al-khala, to having to the bathroom or istinja. So Islam is such a pure religion. It's such a wonderful religion. If you think about this, right? You go and you shake hands with the Muslim, alhamdulillah, you know the hand is clean. It's been used with something clean. You shake hands with a kafir, you don't know. He could have been in the bathroom holding his private parts with that same hand that he's shaking hands. And that's why some of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, as in the Sahih Hadith, they would wash their hands if they shook hands with a kafir. Even though the najasa of the kafir is not hissiya and it's not physically there, but they said that, you know, they're afraid because of they don't know the kuffar, don't know the cleanliness of istinja, their hand could have something najasa. So they would go above and beyond. It's not a hukm shari'i, but some of the Sahaba did this, they would wash their hands after shaking hands with the kafir. So the Muslim, he's pure, he's clean. The right hand is kept for everything clean. Eating and shaking and picking up the mushaf, all of that with the right hand. And many other things. Everything that could be considered to be something dirty that you don't want to be presenting somebody when shaking hands with them and so on, is done with the left. Including istinja. So when you do make istinja, you can hold the water with your right hand, but you use the left hand to cleanse. Here the Mu'allif mentions two cleanse in the way of yani making sure that from the base to the tip of the private is squeezed three times to expel anything that may be harmful. And yani we go to the adilla for this. Yani the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu min as-sunnah idha dakhalt al-masjid annahu yabda bil rijlihi al-yumna, yani. So we look at that hadith about going in with the right foot. And then when you look at the hadith of Aisha radiha, that everything good was done with the right hand. We look at that hadith. And then we look at other hadith. For example, the hadith that Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah and Al-Bayhaqi have mentioned, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would shake hands with the Sahaba using his right hand. And many, many hadith on that. This is just one of them. And everything dirty being with the left. So that's something that we find clear adilla for. When it comes to the issue of cleansing the bowl from the private parts, this is something that shari'i is there. It's a hukam. Meaning you don't want to, like some people do in the West, especially they urinate, and before they're even done, they zip up and they start walking, and then drops of urine are still flowing on their clothes. This is najis. And this is something that would invalidate the bawl al-adami, the urine of human is najis, it will invalidate your salah to make salah in those clothes. So this is something filthy, this is wrong. How will you expel that bawl? First thing, you will use your left hand, as the adilla we just mentioned. This is correct. Some of the ulama mentioned squeezing three times, and then the mu'allif here, nathruhu thalathan, the next he mentions is shaking it, or yani, making sure that it's empty three times. So there's two methods here. One is to take from the base of the genital and squeeze out to the tip three times. And the second method that's there is to shake it three times. And for yani the untha, for the woman, it would just be to make sure that they wipe and squeeze properly for three times. What is the dalil for this mentioned here? There is a hadith, إِذَا بَالَ أَحَدَكُمْ, يعني if one of you urinates, فَلْيَنْثَرُوا, يعني then to shake it, ثَكْرُهُ ثَلَاثًا. And there are other adilla about يعني making sure that these are out. Having said that, all of these are da'if. And this is mentioned in the Muslim Imam Ahmad ibn Majah in his Sunan al-Bayhaqi. But as Imam al-Nawawi, he said, وَاعْتَفِقُوا, يعني بِاعْتِفَاقَ الْعُلَمَاء, اِعْتَفِقُوا with the consensus of the ulama, ala annahu da'if, yani that this hadith is weak. Tayyib. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi even considered this to be a bid'ah, because he said that this could lead to waswas and other things. Not going to go into detail here, but it could lead to some harmful things and so on. So one should be careful not to exaggerate past three, or to yani go too far with waswas and things like this. Because there is no clear adilla for this, again, what is the clear dalil is to make sure that your urine is out and you are yani done with that when you wash and get ready. Some of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, once they did that, they would sprinkle water on their silwar or their izar, their loincloth or their pants, just so later on shaitan would not give them waswasa. That's something very practical. Because some brothers and sisters, then they have waswasa. All the time they have waswasa, may Allah protect us. So they need to do the best and then leave it at that. Bahauddin Maqdisi and others in their shuruh have written regarding al-umda that more than three times would be a bid'ah, because then it's something yani, that could cause desires and things like this. So no doubt that is true. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah even said that this three times squeezing, the hadith are not established, they're da'if, so it's best to leave that. Here, wallahu alam, the mas'ala is such that if you leave it, as long as you make sure the urine is out, this is best, not to open up that bab of some evil. If somebody has an issue with urine not easily coming out, then if they use this method of three squeeze and shake, then this is something that does have some adilla, and the ulama and fuqah have relied upon it. Well, we cannot call this a bid'ah. Some of the ulama have, because there are adilla for it. Having said that, there are some, not here in Za'ad, but in some other madhahib, they have some ajib aqwal, like you have to walk around so many steps and you have to cough so many times. Those have no adilla. Nothing that they're establishing thereon. So that is no doubt a bid'ah. And that we see in some of the Muslim countries as something disgusting. Unfortunately, you'll see a brother sit down and urinate, and then he'll get up and he has his hand with the toilet paper or whatever still in his salwar. He's holding his salwar and he's walking around. And sometimes he's walking around, big bearded brother, mashallah, and talking to people. Where's the haya in that? No, this is not the way of Rasulullah sallam, that you have to walk a certain amount of step or cough a certain amount of time. Rather, if you need to cough to eject just from a health issue, fine. But as long as you make istinja properly and follow this method, there is no need to add to that. Tayyib, so that was numbers, 11 and 12. 13 is to move from the place that you're doing the qada al-haja for istinja in khafa. If you have the fear of getting some najasa coming back on you. This is number 13. This is a hukam that is not from adilla in the sense that it's a hukam that you must move from the place. Rather, the adilla here are back to being to protect yourself from, meaning, if you sit down and you do qada al-haja, you urinate or defecate in a place, and it's a place that's not soft, not in a way that you're afraid that if you pour the water for istinja, that water is going to hit some of that najasa and splash back on you, then it's mustahab that you get up and you go to another place for istinja. Does that mean you cannot make istinja at the same place? No, that does not mean that. You can make istinja in the same place. This is on the issue of istihbab, something recommended to try to protect yourself. But here, even the mu'allif says that if there is that fear, if there is a fear that when you're making istinja, that water is going to hit, for example, there is rocks and it's going to hit some of the najasa and splash back on you, then it's mustahab to move to a new place for istinja. You can make istijmar there and then go and make istinja in another place. If you do not have that fear, then there is no need to. You can make istinja in the place that you did your qada al-haja. Wallahu a'lam. Tayyib. This here ends our things that are mustahab during wudu. And Imam al-Hajjawi then begins those things that are makruh in wudu that we will cover in the next dars, inshallah ta'ala.